I'm looking for Tipsy.
Well, you found him. What do you need? I'm a little busy at the moment.
I can see that. I just came to introduce myself. The name's Alistair, and I've been hired as your new sparring partner and defensive trainer.
Well, you may want to find a loophole in your contract while you can. I'm guessing they didn't tell you what happened to the last guy, did they?
Aye, your father told me. Also told me that you've lost focus since then, and that your progress has suffered.
That would be his biggest concern. My progress. Not the fact that someone is dead, and that it's my fault. Accident or not, I have to live with that.
Yeah, I see your point. Turgid is a hard man. But I think he only wants everyone here to be prepared to defend themselves if and when the time comes. Especially you.
That's all well and good, but he was my friend, and he's only dead because I wanted to prove myself to my father. What's it to you anyway? Why take this on? You're clearly not from around here.
Turgid freed me from a bad situation long ago, and I've been in his debt ever since. This won't repay it, not even close, but it is owed nonetheless.
He almost never leaves this community. What could you possibly owe him?
When I was a boy, the orphans in my neighborhood would be put through programs for training, usually to serve as enlisted city guard. Grunts, you know, expendables. Most of these programs are just that, but the man at the head of mine was a cruel piece of work. Beatings most days served as our training. We were underfed and lived in squalor. There were even rumors that some of the boys were being sold like slaves, and if you had the coin, the reasons for purchase didn't matter. The day I met Turgid, I was receiving my training for the day, and the boss man was there overseeing, which meant my instructors were being particularly heavy-handed so as to gain favor. Just as I was at my limit and sure that I was about to die, I saw a flash from the corner, and one of the instructors dropped like a rock. Another flash, and the other instructor was downed too. The boss man made a run for it, but he didn't get far either. Your dad had him tied up in some kind of magical vines before he could make it to the door. He came over to me and helped me up to my feet and used his magic to stitch the worst of my wounds back together. He offered to let me come with him here, but I was still young and had only ever known Absalom as my home. So he gave me some coin, pointed me in the direction of an actual training program, and sent me on my way. He had his own score to settle with the boss man, true enough, but that doesn't change the fact that he saved my life that day, and that is something I can never repay.
Wow. I had no idea.
Well, now you do. Now let's get to training.
Welcome into episode 10. Let's go. As we left, our adventurers stumbled across a couple halflings sucking on a vine.
Cheech and Chong over here.
Is that their name?
No, it's Peach and Sean. No,
Peach and Sean. Sean, I like Sean.
No, their names are actually Bagus and Merle.
That's even better.
Bagus.
Take a little tug. Bagus. Oh, yeah.
And Clam had his arm around what was it? Bagus and what?
Bagus and Merle.
Merle.
Got my arm around Merle. And I'm like, hey, dude. Give me a hit.
You want a little hit of the tug?
Absolutely, bro.
He hands you the vine.
I take the vine, and the first time doing my little kind of scientific method rundown with it, giving it a little sniff. I take a little sample and drop it into my alchemical kit real quick.
They see you doing this,
uh-huh.
And they're getting a little suspicious, like, You are a friend, aren't you? Yeah.
You cool dude, you a narc?
And one of them flexes his hand, and you can see the flesh turn to bark.
Oh,
like his fingers are turning to a little bit of a tree, and he's flexing his hand, and some branches are growing out of his arm. Almost looks like a rudimentary shield that starts forming as he's flexing. And he's like, "You are a friend, aren't you?" And he flexes.
Clam sees this, and he quickly takes a toke.
Oh my!
Oh, let's go!
Oh, the mushroom!
This is a mushrooms all over again.
Mushroom licking.
Okay,
these impulsive characters we play.
Pause there. You guys are also here, right?
Hey, I got healing from my impulse. So,
Bash, you hear in the distance some people talking to each other.
Okay.
Sounds like Hank from
King of the Hill.
From King of the Hill.
Propane and propane accessories.
What do Tipsy and Mel do?
I was kind of Tipsy was definitely just observing what Clam is doing and thought maybe he would restrain experimentation directly.
No.
And now is aghast at the fact that he just has just taken a huge tug off this puff.
So you don't take any. The vine, in the inside of the vine, there's this like fungal blue glowing thing through it that you can like. It's like a blue Slurpee. Like you can clearly suck it. That's what you do. Okay.
Tipsy definitely wants to ask more questions before moving forward.
Yeah, I don't just take a hit of this.
Okay.
He wants to know his dealer before he gets the drugs.
You are a friend. But what about you two?
Wait, and they notice him?
You guys walked up, right?
We're next. We didn't sneak in. Once Clam was buddy-buddy with him.
The other one reaches down. And what you thought was a stone pathway, he starts to pull up, and it's a massive sword. And you can tell this sword is not for slicing or piercing. This is just a bludgeoning sword, and it's like 12 feet long. And like, there's some dirt covering it and some moss, and he's grabbing the hilt of it and just barely lifts it a few inches off the ground. And looks at you two again.
That's like a pole vault spear for that guy.
And again, his hand turns from flesh to branches, and you can see bark and even some like leaves start sprouting out of his fingers.
Whoa.
And again, he says, "You're friends, aren't you?" And he grabs the vine from Clam and hands it to Mel.
look, we're friends. I'm just not digging the peer pressure right here. I thought this was all about good times.
Wait, can he see the reaction that's happened to Clam? Has anything happened to me?
Yeah, you are clearly getting high. Your eyes kind of roll back. You got eyes kind of roll back in your head, and we're gonna come back to you, but. Clam looks a little dazed.
I was going to say, so basically we see a reaction. We're just not sure where that's leading on him yet.
Yes.
Okay. Tipsy just looks at Mel since he handed it to him and just goes, "Well, what do you think?
What are the halflings doing? Are they digging? Are they?"
So if I'm understanding it correctly, they're sort of semi-threatening us if we're not, in quotations, friends.
Yes.
Okay.
They didn't like my peer pressure speech.
No, they didn't. They're still looking at you. One's still sitting down. One's still sitting down, arms slightly flexed, half of a shield of branches growing out of his arm.
No, Jeff, they were like, "Oh, you're right."
The other has like got up on one knee and has his hand on the hilt of this sword is triple his size. Like, why would he be grabbing
almost,
this?
Almost quadruple. Yeah.
Yeah, they're only 3 feet tall.
Well, Tipsy, I'll see you on the other side. And I take a huge hit of it.
and hand it over.
Bagus lets down his sword, touches you on the shoulder, like, "You are a friend." Ah, yeah.
Frodo Bagus.
Frodo Bagus.
You like that sweet juice, don't you? Tipsy, he takes the vine, hands it to Tipsy. What does Tipsy do?
Tipsy, he wants to know more about it, so he's like, "What is this stuff? What is it?"
"We don't even know. You don't need to worry about that, though, friend." He hands it back to you again.
Just don't inhale.
Is this?
Don't inhale. Just hold it.
Like a presidential candidate. Right. I smoked it once in college, but I never inhaled.
Exactly. You got to Bill Clinton this thing.
Yeah, I got to Bill Clinton this stuff. Tipsy's more interested in the logic here. He's like, what? So this is your only criteria for friendship?
Roll a will save.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh. He's all right.
With my adjusted will, with all my conditions, is that's a 16.
Stupefied 3.
Oh, oh no.
Oh, no. You have so much on you right now.
Oh.
Stupefied 3, sickened 2, and fatigued.
Oh, sickened 2?
And fatigued. Can a sickened 2 person even get high?
He looks at Tipsy now, and he's like, oh. You're in rough shape, buddy.
Yeah, I don't. All of a sudden, I don't feel so.
he pulls it back from you. All right, now, Bash. Enough time has passed where you walk up and you see the this happening. What do you do?
I'm seeing him. Okay, I'm climbing up into a tree. Okay, I want a better bird's eye view of what's going on.
All right, give me stealth.
Oh God. Ah, it's a 2 plus 7, 9.
I love watching these rolls.
Can I roll perception to notice this noise and then try to distract them?
It would just be your perception DC.
No, but can my perception beat these guys and I try to distract them? Can I do like a deception after perception?
You would roll a deception, right? Deception is a...
Yeah, deception.
You roll a deception, yeah.
So I hear him messing around in the trees, and I want to try to deceive these guys so they don't see him. That's what I want to do.
Before you do that, no, go for it. Go for it.
Okay. Roll deception here. I can't see it for some reason. 17.
17. Okay. You hear a snap of a twig.
So I put my arm back around. Hey, let me get another hit of that. Yeah. I take another puff of it.
Okay. All right. So, Clam and Mel, both give me a fortitude save.
Oh, jeez.
Oh!
21.
24.
24. Okay. No damage is inflicted. You both become fascinated.
Oh, no.
What is that?
That's a condition.
That's a condition.
You can find the
answer. I'll add it, too. Basically, fascinated ends when a creature attacks you. It's a -2 to your perception. So basically, because you're high, your characters have a harder time perceiving. So the next encounter we roll for, you'll basically take a -2.
Okay. Jeff, so do you know how to add conditions?
Yes, I just got it.
And Clam, you notice something, and you... You look down, and they notice it before you do.
Oh, no.
They're like, oh, it chose you, didn't it? And you notice your hand does the same thing that theirs does now. There's no longer flesh there. You're seeing branches. The little twig is popping out of your thumb like a little bud of a plant. And you look at both hands like... You don't have flesh fingers anymore. They're made of branches and bark.
Oh dear, Bigsy Bob, what did we do?
It's chosen you. And they're real happy. They're real pumped for you.
And I'm pumped too. I'm like dancing around. I'm like, woo!
What's actually happening? You are getting a frightening poison attack that you will be able to use.
Okay.
Oh.
So you no longer have an unarmed attack.
Okay.
Your only unarmed attack is this frightening poison. It does no damage. You use your unarmed attack modifier. If you succeed, the creature is frightened to 1d4.
Oh, okay. That's huge.
As Clam sees this
frightened
happening.
Does everything. So it's AC, it's their attacks.
Amazing.
Yeah. Everything.
He's going to grab the vine for a third time. He's just, this time, he's going to inhale his total lung capacity.
He's
just
He becomes an ent.
And then he just blows it. He blows it all out his nose like a steam engine.
And they're like, oh, you love the boot scooting, don't you?
And they're laughing. They're happy.
Biggins.
Biggins. He puts his arm around.
Not Biggins.
And he's just dancing.
And much merriment was had by all.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, so I'm up in it. Did I make my way up into the tree even though I rolled poorly?
Very clumsily, but yeah.
Okay, but I'm
you
up there.
You didn't sneak up there, but I'll let you climb it because you're a ranger.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just up watching all this, and I'm watching smoke pour out of poor old Clam there, and I'm just very intrigued by all that I see.
Oh, by the way, the Clam is singing "The Hobbits Are Going to Isengard."
Now, how would he know that song?
It just came to him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, to go into Isengard. Yeah.
He's getting messages from other planes
that
of existence.
Moment of enlightenment, yes.
They're like, first time, huh? you can tell the effect is fading on them in a little bit. And they're like, y'all not from around here, right?
No, definitely not. We're travelers. We're seeking out we're doing an investigation to figure out what's going on this island.
Oh, so the younglings with you then too?
Which one?
He looks just like all you little guys.
Did he come through here already?
He's been on the island for about a week.
Huh. Did you catch a name?
No, he's real wiry. Been hiding in the woods. Keeps running back to that ship for supplies at night.
Are you talking about little Frank? I was partying with him last night.
At this point, is Clam just out to lunch? He has no idea what he's saying.
They're like, oh, little Frank. Okay. Right. Is his name Frank?
Well, his mom calls him Hot Dog.
Frank! Because he's a Frank! I didn't catch up that the first time.
I got it now. I got it.
No way. Was that planned? That
no.
Couldn't have been planned.
I'm high as a kite.
I'm high as a kite.
Well, whatever he is, we all assumed he was with you, so I don't know.
Can you point us in the direction of this guy?
He's had his hut on the west side of the island. We haven't bothered. It didn't seem to bother us, so we didn't think much of it. But it is strange. These woods can be dangerous.
This is getting very serious. Have another puff here, buddy.
He takes a bit of
time. Oh, yeah. Tug, tug.
Tipsy just walks over to the side and pukes again.
Whoever this boy was, I'm sure it's not a big deal.
Well, no big deals here. Okay.
Did I notice Bash as well when he was attempting his climb?
Yes.
Okay, so I know Bash is there.
He failed all of your perception.
Okay. Well, can I just message him again and be like, Bash, why don't you get out of that tree and come join the rest of us?
Yeah.
We all see you.
I do. I hear this message in my head again, and I do the shifty eyes again. Like, I don't know what to expect.
This fucking guy. Why is he always in my head?
Yeah. Okay. So I want to grab a vine and swing down.
Like George is the jungle.
Instead of climbing
this
down.
This surely can't go wrong on your rolls, I'm sure of that.
Oh, I thought about that.
Athletics check.
I'm ready to roll hot. That's a 4. Plus 4 is 8.
8? How far up in the tree was
no
he?
Way.
Hang on.
Did you roll this bad?
It seems more acrobatic
no,
than
no,
athletics.
That's definitely
no,
athletics.
No, that was a 4.
let's say he was 15 feet up. What is that? 7 damage?
I think, is it a 1D something?
No, it's half the distance.
Oh, okay. Yep.
What? Honestly, that 4 improved your average with that dice.
it did, actually.
I wouldn't let you climb down. You had to swing from a vine.
Yeah, I know.
Don't even practice rolling.
I wanted to make an entrance.
You sure did.
And yeah, then you noticed made an entrance. The thud of a gnome falling to the earth. Oh. Well, look at you, buddy.
I like how Bash has done nothing but walk around, try to be stealthy, and just failed every single time. He's just stumbling through the forest loudly and then falling out of trees.
How did he make friends with all these animals?
I don't know.
You think they would all run for them?
They all felt sorry for him. Like, this guy can't even make it through the woods.
I think I'm befriending him. They're just trying to take care of me.
In his area of nativity, he thinks this dragon is like some big nemesis, but the dragon has had numerous chances to eat him over the years and has just taken pity on him every single time.
All right, well,
this one's almost out, but you want a tug? And they hand it to Bash.
I just grab it immediately because I'm embarrassed. So I took a long hard pull on that vine.
All right, give me a fortitude save.
Oh gosh.
Oh, that's it's a 19 plus 7, 26.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, all 3 passes.
Fascinated, and you also gain the frightening poison.
Nice.
So you notice your hands turn into bark, turn into branches.
He probably loves that.
We've got twig fingers.
Might make it hard to pull the bowstring.
Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Oh, it just like wraps around.
Freddy Got Fingered is not a reference I expected either. Hold on, put the condition on there for fascinated. Oh, so by the way,
add condition fascinated. Yeah, thank you.
Just a reminder.
What was the I would have missed. Is there? Do you know the attack? Like the attack? What's the damage? In the hit and stuff?
It does no damage.
Yeah,
it's frightening. Oh. It's you a 1d4.
You use your unarmed attack modifier. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think that's a +6 for you around there.
Yeah.
If it succeeds, it's a D4. They're frightened to a 1D4 level.
Okay, that's a really
frightened
good.
Affects everything, and then at the end of each of their turns, they lose one of the frightening conditions.
Yeah, basically it's just a debuff chance.
Yeah.
A creature affected with this cannot be reaffected until they're fully whole.
But that has to be a reach.
So you can't stack.
That has to be a reach strike, correct?
Yeah, it's melee strike. You have to be out.
Unarmed attack, yeah.
Yeah. You can tell the effect is wearing off of these guys.
Okay.
It's not for you because this is your first time. It's really hitting you guys hard.
They're like coughing their lungs out.
Clam's like, hey, can I see that big old weed whacker you got there? And he tries to pull up that 12-foot sword.
Clam can't even move it.
Yeah, I was going to say, with a -1 strength modifier.
It's like the sword in the stone, basically.
It's a little surprising because these guys are your size.
Yeah.
Right?
I can't even hold it.
No, you don't. But it's like if you were trying to pull a mountain out of the ground. You can't.
Was he still holding it, or is it he laid it down back down?
Yeah, after you all took tugs, he laid it back down, and they're just partying.
It's just laying on the ground.
Yes.
Oh, man.
As it fades off, they're like, again, look at Tipsy. Why do we hear the forest screaming? We can hear our kin.
He's just tripping over his words. He has no idea what to say. It might, because he doesn't want to reveal the artifact. He's always hesitant to do that with people who notice it, because he doesn't know. The unknown is scary in terms of his jealous guardianship of this thing. So he's like, I don't know. What? Can you describe it?
He reaches out to you. And he just keeps reaching as his arm grows into a branch of a tree. It extends across, kind of like a vine moving across, reaches into your pack, pulls it out. He says, this wood here has to be from us. And you can tell it's grown even a little bit more, the wood on the compass.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Well, all we know is most wonderful lady I've ever met. Her child's throat blood is in there.
There's also a couple gnomes and a few other people we have heard stuck in this thing.
It's an artifact. We're unsure of its provenance other than
It sounds like a really bad guy created it, and we're trying to track down the source of its power.
Well, I can tell you by this wood, it was clearly made here.
That's what we've heard.
Yeah, and the throat was slit here as well.
Oh, y'all dealing with some dark stuff, huh?
Do you know Ara, my good Baggins friend?
Baggus.
you're talking to Baggins.
Baggins.
Ara, we know this as a Tari camp. We generally stay to the forest, they stay to the shore. We don't really talk, but we know of the camp.
She's very comforting if you ever need a good cry.
That's great to know. Coming off this can get real emotional.
I really hope not.
You ever tried some orange wedges? I hear that can really help come down.
What are these oranges you speak of?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know where that came from.
Would you like to accompany us? We're trying to take this to where it is pointing. We don't know what will be there, but we're going to find out. You're welcome to come along.
You're going to find out, huh? Well, looks at the compass direction where it's pointing. It's like, well, I don't know if we even need the compass.
Oh.
I think we can get you there. We explore this forest a lot, right? Looking for the best vines, right? Mm-hmm. You know. Goggles over there knows. Goggles can hit
goggles
it.
Knows.
I hope we get, are his goggles transparent, by the way? Like
they're smoked up right now.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. Like there's just like half smoke. Like we see just the very tip top of your eyeballs.
He keeps calling you goggles. Oh, goggles knows.
We think we found the entrance to a lair, but it seems tricky to get into. We know of this feller that was here for a little while. I'm sure something like that was made somewhere like that.
Now, what do you mean by lair?
I don't know. We know this guy was wandering around the forest for a long time here on this island.
Is that the same guy you mentioned earlier? That you thought was with us?
Frank?
We'll call him Frank for lack of a better name.
No. The child?
There's a child here?
Yeah.
Little Frank.
We said youngling.
Oh, I missed that part. Okay.
He must not even be 10 years old. This is a little kid.
He knows how
to
drink, though.
Why does Clay think he knows this guy?
why does he do that?
Bash speaks up for the first time in ages. Hot dog?
No, this is something different entirely. We suspect he might have been a mage.
Mm.
That's really all we know, but I can point you to where.
Do you have magic in your society? Mages that practice spell wars?
We don't really need the magic. And he again, wraps his hand around the back of you. He's feet away from you, and you can see his arm grow out.
And Clam's like,
and you're like, it kind of gives you a hug with like his giant branch arm. Uh-huh. It's like 12 feet now.
It's like, we don't really have a need for the magic.
But you could recognize a mage from another culture?
I mean, in creepiness factor.
Okay. We got one of those too.
We were pretty creeped out until he took a tug.
I want to know how Mel reacts to that.
Yeah, I do too.
What, that I'm creepy?
Well,
I think I'm
wanna,
well aware.
I want to know what a high Sith Lord sounds like.
I'm just looking at the leaves, like,
yeah, he's still fascinated.
Like just flicking at the leaves above my head.
It's like a baby's mobile.
Yeah.
He's just going, whoa.
Oh yeah, Chains gets it.
Chains
Chains and goggles.
Chains and goggles.
I think Tipsy does. He's kind of regretting his decision not to take a hit from these guys. He feels a little bit like he's making a faux pas diplomatically, especially since everybody else seems to be enjoying their time.
He's seeing how much fun Clam's having.
Well, yeah, I mean, his bridge of trust has been crossed, and he's seen that nobody's died or anything horrible has happened to him.
He starts singing along to Hobbits Are Going to Isengard.
Not that far, no.
Did he see that two of us got, like, wood fingers?
He's intrigued by that, maybe startled to an extent.
He's a little jealous, too.
Well, sure. I don't know about that, but...
I know I am.
So he's gonna ask Bagus and Merle if he can partake as well.
Oh, you want a tug-tug, too?
I suppose so. That makes me regret my decisions calling it that, but yeah.
Let's see what we can find.
And he reaches up. Arm extends 15, 20, 25 feet up into the canopy. He's like, oh, I got one here. Snap, pull back down. It's like ripping leaves down as he's pulling it down. And he's like, oh, here we go. And he tries it. Oh, yeah, here we go. And he hands it to you.
All right, Tipsy takes a big pull.
All right, roll a fortitude save.
Oh, 14.
14, okay. You're fascinated?
All right, no add it to my effects. List of conditions.
He's got so
You were
many.
The only one not fascinated, huh?
I don't. Yeah, I'm not actually sure. I don't think it did anything to me because my perception is already so degraded.
Tipsy has like a -7 perception right now.
Okay.
Clam's like, back to this lair. You were showing me how we were going to get there. You said we don't need to. You already know what you're doing? Could you take us?
Yeah, I mean, we can show you the general area. Sometimes it's hard to find the exact door, but we also don't want to trifle with that stuff, so...
Well, that's why we're here. We'll trifle. You watch.
Okay. We'll try and show you.
Can you bring that sword? May come in handy.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
And he picks it up, and it, like... Again, this tiny halfling, you have no idea how he has the strength to do that. Uh-huh. He's just dragging it behind the group.
And I couldn't even budge it.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was like Mjolnir to you.
Some of his like branch arms, though, there's a lot of branch arms on it, so that's kind of what you think is helping him drag it. But
okay.
He's also not going out of his halfling form at all.
Okay, I can't remember. When I tried to move it, did I have the branch arms?
No, that was before.
Oh, okay. All right, but yeah, so he's dragging, and we're following him now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. So, is this far?
Yeah, it would be like a couple hours walk.
Okay, and Bash, you're walking with us?
Yep, I'm with the crew.
Clint?
Go ahead. Go for it, Clint.
I just want to, as we're walking along here, Clam's gonna slink back to, Bash Manquat.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Bash. Remember back when we were on the dock? We fought that traitor? That weaselly little gnome who turned his back on our species. Well, I rifled through his jeans.
Bash was nodding enthusiastically, but now just one eyebrow goes up.
Yeah, yeah. Chris Isaac starts playing in the background.
I've seen you trying to sneak around here and failing miserably. I don't even have good eyesight, and I've been noticing you. It's ridiculous. Like a one-legged squirrel. And
Bash reaches up and like cleans off the goggles with a thumb. He like spits on a thumb and just wipes them a little bit.
And I pull out this camo suit, and I'm like, I think maybe this could help you out a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And, Clam starts like putting it on on you, wrapping it around your shoulders. Says it takes me 10 minutes to apply it. Do you have light armor?
I have leather armor, I believe.
That'd be medium.
I'll allow it still.
Okay, yeah.
Camo suit allowed.
Yeah, so I put it on you. If you go to gear, you can add camo suit. It gives you a +1 bonus to all your stealth checks.
Oh, that's going to be super helpful.
We will need it.
I was going to say, won't help much if you roll...
Yeah, you need a +10.
Okay. Well, thank you. Bash actually says, thank you.
You're welcome, Bash Mandacoot. And then he Clam kind of taps him on the shoulder, and he's still a little disgusted by Bash. And he kind of thinks he smells bad. So Clam's going to make his way up to Mel. I'm going to remove this camo suit again. And makes his way up to Mel, and he's like, "Hey, Mel, I got something you might want. I saw you were a little jealous about my bark fingers here. Even though you couldn't hold Tipsy, you seem a little stronger than the rest of us. So I got a potion you might like."
Oh, really?
And he's going to slide him the bestial mutagen moderate that I got in the last time. So add a bestial mutagen moderate.
Ooh.
And I'm also going to... Well, we can talk about that later.
Okay, so I'm going to come back up to the group, and I'm gonna tap Clam on the shoulder, and I'm going to like gesture at my hands. I'm like, hands, like fire, fire, right? And I'm going to point to like my arrows on the back, and I'm like, hey, give me help.
Very, very smart and wise, Bash Mandacoot. I have something for you I made just this morning when I was pooping.
Could have left the provenance of this.
Yeah, Bash is still anxiously like rubbing his hands together.
By the way, what's on your shoe there?
Looks like you found two things I made while pooping this morning.
That's why he smells bad.
So I take out another. This one doesn't look like it's in like a smaller vial, and it's got like a. This one's it's not an elixir. Do not drink, Bash Mandacoot. It's a high viscosity. And he pulls it out, and it's like a little test tube thing that you kind of squeeze at the end. And he's like, "I found this from giant centipedes." Mm-hmm. In the Sanos Forest. You have to peel off all their legs first, and then you squeeze their kidneys. And
what's up with this guy in kidneys? It's either he's getting kidneys, that somebody else is getting kidneys.
And anyways, giant centipede venom. Very good on your arrows. Now, do not waste them, Bash Mandacoot. And so Clam will... he's going to apply this to two of your arrows. Ooh. But he's going to save one, and he's going to go to, did your chain got repaired, right?
Yes.
He goes back to, Mel. Mel's right there. So he's like, "Mel, I think this would do very well on your chain as well. Do you mind if I wipe some of this on there?"
Yes.
He's going to apply the giant centipede poison to Mel's chain as well. A rule question here. The way I understand it is, I'm not sure how it works for arrows. I assume once he shoots it, it's hit or miss and it's gone. With a melee weapon, it said that the poison stays until he either hits or critically fails a miss. If he just regularly misses, it stays on there until, again, he hits or critically misses.
So you're asking what happens with the arrows?
No, I was just clarifying. Is that correct with you?
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, right. I'm adding this as custom gear. What should I put as the trait? Like, what does it do?
It's called Giant Centipede Venom. It tells you what it does if you click on it.
Okay.
If you go under gear consumable or not, I don't know where it is. You got it?
Cool. Well, no, but I'll look
tell
it up.
You.
I'm just
tell
adding
it
to my gear as two arrows.
Oh, actually, Clam goes back to Bash. It's like, "Hey, I forgot one more thing that you might like, it. Mr. Bash. Take one of these as well. Actually, take two." And Clam gives Bash two more. This time, larger potions. He's like, "These ones are for drinking, Bash, but listen closely. They only last for 1 minute. 1 minute only. You want to use in the heat of battle, and it'll give you a bonus to your accuracy, which I've seen that you need desperately."
Well, he does and he doesn't. He's either critting or fumbling.
Right.
Yes, you've shown promise.
So I'm going to give you two Quicksilver mutagens.
Oh.
And okay. When you drink them, they give you a bonus to your hit.
Cool.
And to your speed.
Ooh, sweet.
That's nice. Ooh, that's really good.
And kite like all you want. All right. And we're walking.
All right, gents. Somebody, as you're looking around, somebody want to give me a survival or forest lore or nature?
That would be Bash.
I've got forest lore, but...
Due to my many conditions, I am -3 on both of those.
My fascination does hurt me, but...
Oh, yeah, fascination does hurt me, too. Wait, I have survival.
That's a 2 plus 3, 5.
Oh.
I got a 20 on survival. Hey.
20 on survival. So
modified 20. Not a crit.
Bash is having a rough day.
Yeah, yeah. His dice are cold as stone.
This one's getting retired, I think.
What were the ones we could check again? Sorry.
Survival and nature? Is that what you said?
Those were the two. Unless you have forest lore.
14.
14. Okay, so Clam is the only one that notices this. As you're walking through the forest, it seems like you bisect what looks like an ancient road. Like, it's clearly overgrown now, but this used to be some sort of mining road or something.
Mm. Is that what that path is right there?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I planned it. Also, everybody want to give me a perception.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't.
6 modified.
2 modified.
20.
What? How is that possible?
I rolled a 1 and I have a +1.
15.
20. Okay,
no, sorry, 14.
Mel is the only one that notices this as well.
Thank you, Mel.
Mel hears a slight rustling in the leaves above, glances up, and sees a child gnome.
It's Frank. Oh,
it's Frank. Frank's been following us this whole time. I kind of look back at Clam and tap him and point up to the tree. I think that's who is behind me. Yeah, Clam is behind me.
Am I still high? How long does this blue slushy last?
It would last. The fascinated condition will last until your next encounter.
Right, but is it just like a headache now? Or am I still having
fun? Yeah, it's faded. Yeah.
Okay. So Clam looks up after Mel nudges him. And he's just like, hey, why is there a child in the trees?
Do you think that's the child that they were telling us about?
They were telling us about a child?
How high are you? Yes, the halfling. Frank?
All I can tell you is it's painful behind my eyeballs.
So do either of you do anything about this?
Well, we're talking about it. Right? Deep Sea Bash, look up. Hey, Bagus. Bagus, Bilbo, what's your name?
Merle.
Look up.
Merle?
Goggles, you talking to me?
Yeah. What's this? What is that? Is it a chimp? What is that?
Oh, that's the youngling we were talking about. And
you were talking about a youngling?
You really had a tug-tug, didn't you? Youngling starts running. The child starts running off. Like,
in the direction we're going?
No, opposite you.
Like, he's swinging from branch to branch?
No, climbing down and, like, down to the path and running away.
Oh, okay. He's a speedy little guy. Is he fully clothed?
Yeah.
Okay. But he's... What race? Can we see?
He's a gnome. He said.
Yeah.
He's a gnome?
Yeah, that's
Mel
why.
Mel noticed a child gnome. 7, 8, not older than 10.
Oh, no. We've hit a trigger. Somebody's going to do something rash.
I'm debating if that triggers me or not. I wrote down a trigger for that.
For the next time you see a gnome? Or specifically a 7-year-old child?
Clam takes like 3 steps. And then looks back at Mel, and then looks back at the kid, and realizes he's just not fast enough. And he's like, oh. Gets back in line behind Clam. I mean, Mel. Gets back in line behind
Mel. Can we shout after the child?
Clam, what are you thinking? Should we pursue him?
Well,
It's never good to leave a child that age alone.
Well,
I always want to help the ostracized.
Can Tipsy cast message and try to diplomatically stop the child from running and see if he'll turn around?
Oh, genius.
Sure.
Good idea.
All right. I'll cast message and I'll say, hold on. We're gnomes like you. We mean you no harm. Can you come back and talk to us a little bit? We can chat, see what if we have any common goals here.
Roll a diplomacy.
Oh boy, wrong guy to try this. Oh, five.
You see a slight hesitation in his gait, for just a minute, but he doesn't stop.
Doesn't stop, okay.
For a full minute.
What?
Not like a minute of game time. Just like,
but he stopped
a second. He starts to slow down, glances over his shoulder, goes from a sprint to a jog, but keeps.
When Clam sees this, he full sprints.
Okay.
He full sprints after this kid.
Okay.
Just gonna see if he can catch him.
All right. You're both. He notices you sprint after him.
Uh huh.
Starts to speed up, but you are faster than this child.
Oh, amazing! Do I have to roll anything?
No, you would
catch up to him.
Well, what are you going to do when you catch him?
What's the rest of the group do?
I watch this. Tipsy does.
I'm following behind.
Yeah, following behind.
Clam just gave me things. He's like my new best friend, but I do start to like grab at an arrow just in case.
Okay, so Bagus and Merle are leading you on the trail, going inland. The child is going outland, out toward sea on the same trail. So you guys are faced in opposite directions. So you three are staying with Bagus and Merle, right? Not following Clam.
No, these two are following. I'm staying with Bagus and Merle.
Oh, okay.
Do they do you guys stop on the trail and?
Yeah, I kind of halt them. I just say, hey, hold on a second. Hey, hold on a second. We got something's unfolding back here with Hot Dog.
All right.
Yeah. So, Clam's sprinting like crazy.
So I catch
up. I feel like I'm a few steps behind.
Hey there, little fella. Can I have a word with you?
I try to just pat him on the shoulder gently. Does he jump at me?
He's scared. Yeah.
He's super scared.
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
I just lean in and give him a hug. He's shivering.
A little bit.
I hold him even closer, and I start just...
Rub his ears.
Yeah, I'm itching the back of his head and trying to, like, do, like, the shampoo. When you get, like, shampooed at a salon and they swirl around. I'm doing that.
Bash starts subconsciously rubbing behind his own ears as he's watching this.
I'm just like, I'll try it again. Mama's got you. Mama's got you.
As you draw him in close for a hug.
Can I roll performance?
Yeah.
Can I roll performance? He's asking to do a skill check.
I forgot what it was. It's pretty good. Oh, man, fascination hurts me. That's a 12.
It's a 12. Okay. It still seems a little scared. As you draw him in close for a hug, he goes,
why did I hear Miss Tamalee screaming?
Clam pulls him back and looks at him and he goes, why did you say that, boy?
I heard Miss Tamalee and she was screaming.
How has that witch wronged you?
She hasn't wronged me. I heard her.
Child, listen to me. I'm older than you. You're alone in the woods. How old are you?
7.
7 years old, alone in the woods. What did Tamalee do to you?
7 and a half.
Sure. I celebrated half birthdays too. What did Tamalee do to you?
Nothing. I heard her screaming from you, from.
Well, as she should be, child.
That pack.
You don't understand.
I heard her screaming and she's not here.
Listen to me carefully. Tamalee is a demon. She's a demon of a woman.
I'm now regretting not following.
Bash nods as he is prone to do.
But why could I...
Listen to me.
Why could I hear her? I don't see her.
I'll explain it as best as I can. All right? This Tamalee that you know. She had a device that was very evil, and she tricked us into taking it, and then she got all fancy and dripped her hair into it and got sucked in. Okay? So now she's swimming around in some little box that we're carrying around, and we don't know what to do with it. But listen here, she is not a good one.
My dad thought she was the best.
Everybody thought she was the best. My whole group wanted to give her a hug. I was the only one who knew.
I point at this kid
child,
and I just say,
your father?
Yeah, name. Name.
They call me Lunk.
What was your father's name?
Tarundel.
Child sacrifice time, Mel. Put him on the table. Cut his throat.
Clam flinches at that and loses his composure a little bit. But he doesn't let it slide completely.
I was going to say, does he raise his hand to strike the child?
No. The sins of the father are not the son's burden. So
he's very perceptive and notices your face's change when he says Tarundel, and he says,
did you know my dad?
You could say that.
Oh, who is your mother?
I don't know.
Of course you didn't. Of course he would whore around.
Do gnome males have babies?
Goggles? That's what they call you? Goggles? I heard them call you Goggles. What's whore?
This conversation is going to go on for a while.
When a man loves a woman.
You see.
How did you get here? Let's start there. How did you get to this island?
Well, my dad always told me to just wait for him in his ship when he was in town. And I was just surprised to see you four boarding it without him. So I hid. He showed me all the smuggler's hold and stuff. So I just hid there and snuck out at night for rations and waited until I could get to land.
You were on the boat with us?
Where is my dad? Yeah, the whole time. You are not as good of a sailor as my dad.
No, but...
He is way better at that than you are.
Sure.
He's maybe very strong, too. He can...
not anymore, he's not. Couldn't hold it in.
He can heft a crate like nobody's business. My dad can beat you up, probably.
Here's the thing. I saved your dad from a fountain once.
You know my dad?
I do. And he was working for Tamley. And sometimes... When we get in a position in life where we are stranded by our employment, we make bad decisions. And I feel for your dad, Tarundel. I think he had a good heart, just a bad employer. And I hope that you follow a better path.
But where is he? Did you bring him with you?
No, he's
Otari.
He's back in Otari.
Ash speaks up. Otari.
Where's Otari? That's where I'm from, right? Otari? Yeah.
I pull him in close for a hug, and I say, I saw your father pass. He's passed on to the afterlife.
Lunk starts sobbing. He's
I have no one in life.
Clam's patting him on the back. He says, I will take care of you.
Now you have a familiar.
Tipsy casts ignition on Lunk. Just like the father.
Sobbing, he draws in close and just stands next to you. He doesn't know what to do.
Clam says, "Child, we're on a mission here that had to do with your father. We're trying to find the end of the story of the device that Tamley fell into. It's dangerous, but I can see you. No reason to hide you from it. So, if you'd like to come along, just nod your head."
He nods slowly.
Clam lifts him up and puts it on his shoulders.
Nice.
Did you guys come back to the place where me, Merle, and Bagus are hanging out then?
Yeah.
Do you fill me in on what's been happening?
No.
There's just a child with us now.
You should have sent you out of the room.
Mel could.
Okay. Does somebody tell me what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
Bash isn't going to.
Clem gets a few steps ahead of us, and I kind of look back at you and fill you in on what's going on.
I cast message to Clem, and just so the child doesn't overhear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using the spell the hell out of the spell, by the way.
I'm so glad I don't have the spell.
I'm going to say, do you think we should be really bringing a child with us to this dangerous section of the island? Maybe it'd be wise to send him back to the village with Aura.
I can't respond, right?
Yes, without you can. Talking. You can do a short...
Oh, I can tell and talk to you in my head?
You can whisper, and I'll hear it clear as day.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's better than being jaguar food to be with us.
He's been getting around the island by himself for a week now. He could probably make it to the village unobstructed.
I'd like to teach him civilized ways.
This child is going to be mincemeat by the time we're done with this. You're gonna force the GM to commit child aside.
No. I have an alchemist apprentice now.
Oh my god! One more thing for him to track too. He's gonna have to generate a character sheet. I guarantee he didn't think of that.
This kid's gonna.
Lunk does not have a character sheet.
This kid's gonna be a genius alchemist.
Just give him
the same as Kaka.
Give him 3 hit points in the first area of effect. Spell just murders him.
No. So, I mean, you don't agree with me, but I don't agree with you.
That's fine. Yeah. Tipsy's made his peace with it. Sure. I have not. Tipsy has.
Mark the player is pissed, but Tipsy's okay. Yeah.
He may have an errant electric arc mid-battle.
Zap, zap, zap. Oh!
Whoops, is that Lunk?
Lunk.
Now it's fried Lunk.
Speaking of Tipsy, I think you've noticed since being on this island, this artifact has been weighing on you.
I can see it in my stats. That's
far
for sure.
More than when it was on Atari.
Mm-hmm.
There's some pull here that's different. Give me a will save.
Oh boy!
And you really, 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 really don't want to fail this one.
Oh, it's a 19.
That is also a fail.
Oh my god.
One off.
Okay.
Tipsy, you can sense in your inmost being this call to you. You can no longer say no to the compass anymore.
Oh,
you have a choice.
Okay.
Do you, out of fascination, reach in and touch the fluid or resist one final time?
Oh, boy.
Wait, he doesn't have a choice. He does have this choice.
He does have this
choice. Okay, this is his last choice. I see.
I think he would be very tempted. So he's got it out in his hand. He's looking at it. And you see his hand, like, hovering above, as if he's toying with the idea or like trying to turn it over in his head and think about it. But I think he would resist or attempt to. And then he would touch it. I mean, he's got it. It's his precious.
You all hear a splash.
Oh, no.
And the faint sound of wood on the forest path as if like a dice had been rolled.
Oh, yeah.
And Tipsy is gone.
but the thing is there.
The artifacts is still there. Yeah.
Can I have one final word before I disappear?
Send a message.
Yes. What does Tipsy say as he is water?
Fly, you fools.
So I'm gone. All right. Okay.
We're all standing there looking at it. Are those guys looking at it too? Bagus and Merle?
They're astonished. Yep, yeah. They're still with you.
Clam kind of nudges Mella and is like,
I think this is a good task for your kind. You want to pick that up? We got to find Tipsy.
Mel looks down at it, looks back at the group, and he reaches down and picks it up.
Thank you, Mel Killian.
Mel, give me a will save.
Already? 20.
20. No effect. Cool.
Yeah, what's the big deal?
What's the big deal?
What's the big deal? Is that I couldn't roll?
Clam's steps get a little quicker, and he's like, I got to find Tipsy. And Tipsy is his friend. He's still very appreciative to Tipsy for teaching him the fire, so he's really concerned now. But at the same time, he's trying to keep Lunk happy and trying to, like, build a connection with him. So as they're kind of walking through the forest, he's trying to, like, sing some songs to him, and he's like, Lunk sat alone in a boggy marsh. And they start singing that song, and it's going well.
You walk the Bagus and Merle are shocked. What is that? What that thing does?
Yeah, there's who knows how many gnomes are in there.
Oh. And all kinds.
Mm-hmm. It sucks in gnomes like you guys were sucking on that vine.
That is terrifying.
It really is.
They hear a snap, a branch. Oh. And they whisper, oh, we're being followed. And they both, like, almost disappear into the forest.
They run?
But it's not like running. Like, they're turning into their tree form.
Oh.
And then you just can't distinguish them from the forest anymore. And they're gone.
Oh, no.
Clam's, like, looking at you guys.
What do we do? Any ideas, fellas? We got to find Tipsy. We've lost our forest guardians. I guess we could keep following the compass. What do we want to do?
Yeah, I just point forward on the path, wherever the compass is pointing. Bash points.
Very confident, Bash Mandacoot.
Yes, wherever this compass is pointing, that's where we have to go to see what it does. I think that's the only way we can get Tipsy back.
Clam kind of closes his eyes, and he's thinking about what that old gnome told him in the dream about protecting his life a little bit more, but he doesn't see another option, so he kind of takes a deep breath and he tickles Lunk's knees, and then he just keeps going.
And the three adventurers, terrified, still not noticing that they're hearing snapping noises, somebody is following them, and up from behind them walks a lone human.
Well, 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 what have we here?
Yeah.
Turn around and what do we see?
You see a 6-foot human brandishing a kukri, but kind of like casually picking his nails with it, and with a sly grin on his face.
And what's he wearing?
Studded leather armor.
No, like, hood or anything?
No, he's fairly unobstructed, but he is an imposing figure. He's probably 6 foot, 220.
Okay.
Who are you?
6'2", maybe.
What are you doing here?
Well, I've gone by... Oh, Jesus Christ, I got to remember how to say this. Apologies to listeners here. I've gone by many a name over the years. Pick which one you'd like.
Whichever one you give me.
Well, the name's Crumb. Alistair Crumb. Crumb's the name because Crumbs is all I ever had.
Am I seeing you right? You're a human?
That's right.
And you say you've been around a long time? Do you care to explain? Humans don't live long.
I've been around lots of places, let's put it that way.
Lots of places, what?
And what 50, brings you 40 to this
years?
Place?
40, 50 years?
Well, you see, I've been sent on a mission to uncover... Jesus, I can't do this. You guys are asking, it's rapid fire.
Well, you snuck up on us in the woods.
I know.
Casually picking your nails with a killing weapon.
Okay. Bear down. All right, so one question at a time. Mel's question. Okay. What was it?
And what brings you to this place?
Well, you see, I've been hired to track someone down. His name was Tipsy Peckerpole.
Well, there's no Tipsy here.
Well, I happen to have a tip that says you folk might know where he is. Where he is. I gotta get the accent right.
You might want to check on a Dave and Busta's. I hear they're on the mainland.
I got very, very... Jesus Christ, fuck me. Fuck me, I told you this is gonna happen.
You did.
I got good information that said, I'm just going to forget the accent for now. Maybe I'll come back to it. If it comes in and out, the listeners will have to forgive me. I got good information that says he's with you guys. The descriptions are very clear.
Give me one reason to trust you, human.
I can't do that.
Well, I can't do it either.
So do you guys know where he is or not?
It's always hard to find a Peckerpole.
So they say. But I happen to be very good friends with his father.
Really? You know, he didn't like his father much.
That's true. And I actually knew that about him. You know, I found Tipsy after he ran away from the cloister in that village where he was serving as a bartender. Mm-hmm. Lowly, lowly stuff for a gnome of his stature. And the family upbringing that he had. And at that point, I had been hired to find him as well. But Tipsy and I, we knew each other quite well. I happen to be one of the only humans his father trusted. And because of that, I was charged with helping to train Tipsy. And we became close over the years. And I've been hired once again to find him, despite my failure. And he emphasizes that, despite meaning that... He did find him, but didn't bring him back to Tipsy's father.
Prove to me that you trained a Tipsy Peckerpole.
He brings out an artifact, like a little piece of a leaf of a paper, and it has that same sigil on it from what Tipsy cast onto the artifact. He says, "Does this look familiar at all? Have you guys ever seen this before?"
Can Clam take the paper?
Sure.
Clam takes the paper, and he looks at it, and then he casts his ignition spell and just burns it.
No, no skin off my back.
What do you think, fellas? Looks to his companions.
Bash just kind of whispers, "Turgid." That's Tipsy's dad's name, by the way, in case you forgot.
Oh, yeah.
This guy looks at you and goes, "Very good, little one." That's right.
Look, we may have known a Tipsy, but there's no Tipsy here.
Truth is, we don't know where he is.
Well, I follow all the leads presented to me, so mind if I tag along with you guys until I find either Tipsy or find out what happened with Tipsy? I should rephrase that. I'm not giving you a choice. I'm tagging along.
Here's the thing.
Until we find out and we find Tipsy.
You're walking in the front and you're giving me that kukri.
That's not going to happen.
Well, then.
I'll walk where I like and I'll keep my kukri and you just be lucky that I do.
He taps Lunk, and he's like, my little friend, what do you think there, Lunk? What do you think about this fella? You seem to be quite perceptive.
I think his blade is shiny.
Very observant.
I bet it's good for killing bad stuff.
Little of good, little of bad. You know, it's seen everything.
He asks this adventure. Have you ever killed anyone?
Well, that's a loaded question, ain't it? Yeah. Yes, I have.
Was it scary?
I haven't had the best life, let's put it that way, and, you know, I kind of grew up this way. I'm more or less neutral on the subject, in both real terms and game mechanics.
Look, you can keep your weapon, but we still can't trust you. You are walking in front.
That's fine by me. You guys are just a lead to me at this point, and I'm just here to follow the mystery.
Why do you want to find Deepsea?
I want to make sure, one, he's okay. For all I know, you guys have murdered him and left him in a hole somewhere.
No. Here's the thing. Deepsea is my friend, and I'm trying to protect him. I don't know that you have his best intentions.
That's fine. I also don't know that you're his friend. You could be his enemy for all I know.
How did you track us here? We're on an island in the middle of who knows where.
I have my ways with interrogation techniques, and I have been following leads all the way back from the beginning of Otari. You left quite an impression there, let's put it that way.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to put Mel first, then whatever your name is, then Bash. Actually, we'll go next. And then Bash, and he taps one of those poisoned arrows, and he's like, telling you to have it at the ready.
Bash nods. Bash just winks, actually, because he sees Clam more as a friend now.
Yeah.
He doesn't nod anymore. He winks.
Yeah. And we start walking.
You come up upon a rocky clearing. These are giant boulders. 10 to 20 feet in diameter. Everybody give me a perception. Or nature. Or occult. Or,
it's finally here.
Or occult.
Oh, did you, Nat did 20. You crit?
21.
17.
21.
25. Nat 20.
You three notice toward the center, there's one of these boulders has a series of sigils on it, written in Fey.
Oh.
That you can read.
Oh.
Two of us can read that.
Yeah, I'll read it. What does it tell me?
Well, one of us, if you're illiterate.
Yeah, are you going to read it aloud?
Well, can you just tell me so I hear it in my head first? And then I can decide to share it or not? Because only I can hear it, right?
Read it. It's written,
I mean, I'm
right?
The only one that can read it in the group, right?
Well, assuming that he speaks Fae, but he's
Bash
if he's illiterate.
Bash can speak Fae, but I don't think Bash can read.
Are you going to read it? Stop there. Are you going to read it aloud or in your head?
I think I would just read it aloud. I'm in a group. There's no reason I would want to keep anything secret right now.
Okay.
I would read it aloud.
As you're reading it aloud, the symbols light up.
Okay.
One of the boulders moves slightly and opens to a small tunnel beneath the rocks.
Was it speak friend and enter? Is that what it said?
Sure.
Ballon.
We have a lot of Tolkien lore in this. Yeah.
It's unavoidable.
It really is.
Okay, so it opens though. And I just read the thing. Okay.
Merlock.
That's what I said too.
Oh, I didn't hear you. Sorry.
All your characters have leveled up. And we will see you next week.
Oh, hey! Yeah! Hell yeah.
Next time on the Rogue Mage Podcast.
Another slight skittering noise. Again, getting a little louder.
Alistair makes a quiet alert to the group and says, "Someone's coming this way." And then kind of hides around the corner there with his kukri drawn.
It's an occult ritual that you guys can start to cast.
Alistair calls back, "Finish the ritual!"
Adam's like, "I'm designing this for Mel to be a hero."
Yeah.
And instead he gets a TPK because there was a set of everything. Everything else we have. Literally one spell was the crux of our success.
Seem to have the same ore that is in the compass, the same glowing blue veining as it's coming down. And further down, you hear what sounds like chanting